Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells on another gorgeous August summer day after, Doug, an insanely busy and fun Park City weekend.
Yeah, that bike tour was great.
20,000 people watched it.
Really?
Amazing. Wow. Amazing. And it all went off smoothly, and everybody had a good time. And hooray for us again. The best town, what, in best town
in the
ever?
World, according to Outside Magazine. How about that?
I don't know how many of these best ofs we can stand. But I guess all publicity is good along those lines. But we have an interesting show this morning, all with local guests. And the first one you're going to be very interested in because you may not have heard of this organization or much about it, but you'll learn about it in the next half hour. Sharon Anderson Morris is with us, and she is a local and program director for Strategic News Service and runs the SNS's Future in Review Conference and is managing director of Fire Films. And these are all related organizations which bring together the leading technologists of North America and I suppose worldwide. And they meet to not just talk about problems, but solve problems in an annual conference. And The Economist magazine calls it the best technology conference in the world, quite an endorsement from The Economist. So we will be talking about this Park City-based organization in just a few minutes.
And our second guest, Larry, is going to be Glenn Smith. He's the founder of Rogue Wave Productions. And if you've ever used, I know you're not an Apple guy, but if you've ever used your Android phone and said, there should be an app for that, Glenn's company gives people a easy way to create apps that they think should exist. And our third guest is going to be Daniel Lewis. He's with Metropolitan Theaters. They are the longtime owners of the theaters at the Redstone. And I guess they just bought the theaters at Holiday Village. So we'll find out how that's going to impact our movie viewing here in Park City. You're listening to KPCW, Mountain Money, and we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
This is Tom Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, and we're happy to support KPCW. Prudential Utah has been helping locals and visitors with their real estate needs since 1976. Our agents know the community and the local market. More information can be found online at prud-utah.com or at one of our 14 offices throughout Park City.
Back pain that is unbearable and takes over your life is devastating. Missing out on activities that are important to you can leave you feeling helpless. You don't have to travel far for competent, caring, board-certified help with your back pain. At Park City Specialty East, they're capable and ready to help you with your pain management. Call today for an appointment, 435-658-7470. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
And welcome back to Mountain Money. And we now have Sharon Anderson Morris in the studio with us, Program Director for Strategic News Service. And Sharon, welcome. And tell us a little bit about SNS. And this is quite a long story. It grew out of family associations and has become quite a interesting and large deal. But and it's one of those things... when you hear about it, you go, wow, that came out of Park City? But it really came out of Stanford.
Right, it really came out of Stanford. Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me today. Strategic News Service actually was started in 1995, and my brother is the CEO of Strategic News Service, and it's a membership organization. My brother started this with a newsletter that went out to his friends that are interested in technology and predictions of technology and economics for the next 3 to 5 years. And he wrote this newsletter in 1995 to some of his friends, and it grew to be a very large member-based organization that it is today. And my brother lives in Friday Harbor, Washington, so we're all virtual. I live in Park City. I'm a local.
Well, I see you. You exist.
Yeah. So from Strategic News Service, we have global members, which include people like Michael Dell, Bill Gates, Paul Allen, Paul Ritchie, who you may know, who also lives here part-time. He's the CEO of Nuance. And Elon Musk, people like that. And we have a global membership of really important technology leaders that change the world. And what we, the core company, Strategic News Service, like I said, we issue a weekly global report that Mark writes. And then we have technology leaders also write the global report frequently. So our global members are in the know about what's happening in the world of technology and economics for the next 3 to 5 years.
And then it goes beyond that to an annual conference, which is quite illustrious with its panelists, et cetera. And then you've branched out into film as well. So let's leave the film component aside for now and talk a little bit about this Future in Review conference.
If people do want to know the parent company, it's stratnews.com, just as a reference. And from that, in 2003, our global members said, we need to have a conference. We need to meet each other. We trust each other. We want to create action. There's so many global challenges that we need to address. We want to use technology to create solutions. So in 2003, we started the first Future in Review conference, which we call FIRE. And so we're going into our 12th year of FIRE this next May, May 20th to the 23rd. And we will have, again, 200 attendees, which the audience is interchangeable with the speakers, to address global challenges and create solutions with technology. We have channels that include computing, economics, education, energy, environment, healthcare, pure science, and global initiatives, which is where FIRE Films falls in. So at futureinreview.com, anybody can go. They will become a member. We'd love to have more people from Park City attend. At the FIRE conferences in the past, we have been bringing Park City locals in, which is really great. We have such an amazing amount of smart, brilliant people that deserve to talk to the world.
The good news is this conference is held at the Montage. The bad news is it's not the Montage down the street. It's the one. It's also a beautiful hotel, one in Laguna Beach. Yeah. But give us some ideas, like from last year's conference. What were three or four of the hot topics that you guys were discussing?
Well, education is always a hot topic that we're discussing. Intellectual property protection. That's a really important topic that we discuss. Micronutritional analysis is in healthcare. That's critical these days, to be able to know what you're actually eating before you put it into your mouth. Environment. Talk about the future of energy. That's critical. And computing.
So if you want to know where guys like Elon Musk, who are the founder of co-founders of PayPal and went on to do Tesla Motors, the electric car manufacturer, wildly successful now, SolarCity. I mean, this guy's just SpaceX.
SpaceX.
I mean, the list goes on and on. And I guess your
conference is – now he's working on the Hyperloop.
Now he's this afternoon he's going to talk about whether it is the Hyperloop or not. Whatever it is, it's 30 minutes, Larry, from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Oh, where you put yourself in a tube like you're a bank.
Well, nobody knows. We're going to find out this afternoon.
But Mark and I met with him at South by Southwest. We had breakfast with him, and we talked
about it. Breaking news here. It is a Hyperloop.
It is the Hyperloop, and it is going to happen. Whatever Elon touches happens. Yeah, Elon founded SpaceX. And SolarCity and Tesla Motors, and he made Tesla profitable by that new lease program that they have.
Which is, you know, I work in the money business, the investing business, and I have to tell you, it's going to be very interesting to see how the SEC looks at this. For listeners that may not have heard of it, Elon Musk is a very wealthy individual. He's very bright, very dedicated. He's arguably the most successful starter of big businesses and brave new industries. But what he's done to help make Tesla a success, and what Sharon's talking about, is he's guaranteed the resale value of a vehicle, not through Tesla. Tesla's not guaranteeing it, but Elon Musk personally is guaranteeing it. And the question is, if he had done that through his corporation, his balance sheet liabilities would have skyrocketed. So it's going to be interesting. He's bright. And I hope he has thought he's brilliant. I hope he has thought through the compliance issues with this. It's going to be interesting over the next 6 to 12 months to see whether the SEC says this can fall on his balance sheet or on Tesla's. But getting back to your conference, it's people like Elon Musk that's going there to help generate his next ideas.
To help generate his next ideas and to help actually create solutions for our world. That's right.
And then you have the film component. But again, I guess let me set that aside. Let's talk about solutions. So it's great to talk about these things. Is there a solution component? There is a solution component.
Yes. At our FIRE conferences, we address challenges and we create solutions. For example, we have what's called the CTO Challenge. We give the technology leaders – we usually choose about 8 – on Tuesday, we give them a challenge. On Friday, they come back to us with solutions. And we've addressed alternative energy to scale. And we've created solutions specific to area globally. And we've given that to our government. We've addressed intellectual property protection. We've addressed water, shortage and usage and efficiency. We've addressed forest fires, and we've given those solutions to how to use technology to prevent forest fires. That's really the main thing to do, is how can we prevent them, and if we can't prevent them, how quickly can we put them out? You know, it's, if you can get them out within 5 minutes, you've got it contained. How can we use technology to make that solution? So we have developed the solutions for that. We did that, give that to the government, and we've given that to the San Diego local community. So we do create action with technology for problems.
Does your head just spin at the you get in a conference room at the Montage Laguna Beach, and you're there with Michael Dell, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, and Paul Jacobs, and just the most brilliant technology minds in the world?
It's a blast. It's a total blast. Vince Cerf, it was fun having lunch with Vince Cerf last May, you know.
For those of you that don't know, Al Gore may say he's the inventor of the internet, but Vince Cerf is generally credited with the invention of the internet.
He is, and he's working on the infrastructure of broadband between here and Mars. Okay, that to me, what are you working on, Vince?
Now, hold on. Do we need broadband on Mars?
Yeah.
Well, at some point, we might.
I'm working on setting up a lunch appointment to broadband
really,
to Mars.
Elon Musk, we're talking with Elon, and Elon said, you know what, we have to be able to expand. We're going to have to go to Mars. He's going to be the one to get us to Mars with SpaceX. And he said, I said, Elon, who wants to live on Mars? And he said, Sharon, it's a real fixer-upper.
It's a fixer-upper.
Indeed. Okay, well, now let's move on to film. So in more recent years, here you are living in the midst of documentary heaven when Sundance comes to town. So you've brought in a new component, which is film, right, into this conference.
Right.
How does film play into a technology conference?
I think there's nothing more powerful than a well-done, scientifically correct piece of documentary film that can create action from motion. The first year that I saw The Cove at Sundance, I said, I think our world leaders need to see this film. We brought Luis Hoyos and The Cove to FIRE in 2009, and I watched our leaders just become extremely emotional, and the BBC was there, and we had no action. And I thought, how can we show this film to people that are from all over the world that have such great outreach and have no action? And the only thing that I could think of what we could do was to hand the DVD to the BBC and say, please show this to your affiliate in Taiji so that the people have the ability to see what's happening in their own backyard. So there was action that came out of that. But I realized from that lesson that we need to show a really important world-changing film every single year to these people who change the world. So the next year we showed climate refugees, and we brought Stephen Nemeth and Michael Nash in, which is about the glaciers melting and the oceans rising. An incredible and very important piece of work, because populations are being displaced and we can see where it's happening. So it's a really important educational piece that the world now knows about. Then we brought in The Last Mountain about mountaintop removal and the coal industry. It's horrific, and people don't understand it. And this is a fantastic piece of work. I mean, Bobby Kennedy is totally behind it, and we were able to share this and help, you know, give links to foundations that are help raising awareness and funding to get us off of coal.
And Sundance is obviously a very local event here. Who locally are you working with these films, choosing the films? What's kind of the local participation that's taking place?
Well, besides my closest friends, I make sure that we have a list of all the documentaries that are about world-changing things. And Geraldine Dreyfuss, we have deemed our Fire Films Ambassador, so she's now our connector to the knowledge of really what's out there. And she and I are very good friends, and she's helped us tremendously. And she comes to FIRE every year, and we bring a panel together on stage about current relevant films. So we'll have three film creators that are films in production that are being made about something that's really important for our people to become aware of, in addition to showing a film every year.
And Geraldine's a well-known local name for listeners that may not have heard of her. I believe she's won an Oscar.
Oscar winner.
And she's also was one of the driving forces behind the women's ski team film, I believe it's called Ready to Fly.
Right.
which is a wonderful film if folks haven't seen it.
And because of Fire Films, we were able to, and Geraldine brought that film to my attention, we were able to bring that down to Carmel Art and Film Festival, which is an alliance partner of ours, and that won the best documentary film at the Carmel Art and Film Festival, and they raised money for the team. So Fire Film outreach is pretty strong. The following year, we showed Chasing Ice. We brought James Balog, and we actually, Oracle, of all companies, Oracle stepped out of its box and held a fundraiser for Pandora's Promise, I mean, for Chasing Ice.
Very good. Now, I would think when you have groups like this and ideas like this flying around a room, people are going to say, this looks like another TED conference. Where do you and TED missions and goals and ideas?
That's a good question, and we get that question quite frequently. Our conference is about technology leaders addressing challenges and creating action with technology. So there's not an entertainment factor towards it. The documentary film portion is for educating the world about what's happening. So I think that's the difference between ours. And ours is a membership-based organization as well.
So how do we as citizens of Park City or the world participate in a fire conference?
Easy, and we'd love to have more local participation. Go to futureinreview.com, and you'll see how you can register for the fire conference. And also, you may be eligible to be a speaker. We've had so many speakers from fire: Dave Garrison from IBON, the Dwell Tech, Jason Dittmer and Brad Peacock, Nasir Marouche, Hank Lewis. We've had a lot of locals that have a lot to say to the world. So we'd love to have more Park City involvement, futureinreview.com, to become a member. And you can be a trial member if you go to stratnews.com to receive our SNS Global Report every week as well. We also have coming up on December 5th the New York Predictions Dinner. It's the ninth year. We would love to have participation from Park City, and just go to stratnews.com and sign up for the SNS Predictions Center.
And what is that? That's at the Waldorf, you were saying.
It's at the Waldorf
the room.
On December 5th.
Okay. Here locally, yeah. Not the Waldorf in New York.
No, the Waldorf in New York City.
Oh, yeah, it is? Yeah. Oh, my bad. Of course. Okay. The good news, like the montage, the good news is at the Waldorf. Bad news is you're going to have to travel 2,000 miles.
We have held conferences here at the Montage. We have held conferences here at the Canyons.
Right.
So,
okay.
It's like it's one of those only in Park City things. It's like you can confuse the Waldorf in little old Park City with the Waldorf in New York City.
It's a nice problem to have.
Who would imagine that? Well, talk about some of the characters you've met through the years. I mean, having breakfast with Elon Musk would be certainly more interesting than your average breakfast on Main Street in Park City. But who else have you communed with and learned from that especially you walked away going, wow?
Well, you know, it's interesting. All of these technology leaders are just real people. And I think when you get to the core of them, like Michael Dell, he's like my brother, you know. He's just a guy that's really smart that cares about the world. And same with Elon. Elon's the kid. Elon is a curious kid that's brilliant, you know. He just can't quit thinking, you know. And he's just so successful at that because he's very compassionate about the world. I loved meeting Vint Cerf. Vint was walking around with his Google Glass the whole time, right? So Vint's just this, you know, elegant man who really cares about the world and is doing something about it. He's just moved to London. Mark Hurd is fascinating. Mark Hurd is the only interviewer that I've ever seen, interviewee, that has to stand up while he's interviewed. He always has a lot of really interesting things to say about Oracle and about what's happening in the world. He's an ex-HP guy.
That's putting it mildly, an ex-HP guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think he's the reason for the success of HP, right? And then he went to Oracle for Larry. Everybody that is there is individually extremely interesting and can do amazing work for this world.
So what does your brother think of this, right? So he graduates from Stanford in physics, decides he wants to start this newsletter, and now it's grown into this vision that's much bigger, I would guess, than he ever thought, or maybe not. What's he think of, what is it now, 20 years later, where his company is?
I think you'd have to ask him, but I think he'd be very proud of it. I think he's very proud of it. We have a lot of work to do. There's not a time to stop and say, oh, good job. We're continually.
Now Friday Harbor, another beautiful place to live, but is an unusual place for somebody to live that likes to be connected and being at the epicenter. Mm-hmm. I would have guessed that he would have been in the Bay Area, New York City. Why do you think he chooses to live up in Friday Harbor?
Have you been there?
I have. It's a beautiful place.
Better salmon fishing.
Yeah. Great salmon fishing, yeah, absolutely.
It's the most beautiful place, and he didn't ever want to leave. And it's a great place to raise kids. Yeah. So he travels a lot.
And how long's he been there?
I don't know, decades.
It's a hard place to get in and out of, though. Does he fly his own plane?
No. Really? I tried to talk him into that one time. He said, what are you trying to do to me? No, he manages to get in and out, and we do a lot of – he does interviews from there, and he
it's
goes
It's one
to
of the toughest places in the United States to get in and out of, because not even when you get there, you're still not there. Oftentimes, you got
to
take a ferry ride, and
you have
it's
to take
first
a ferry.
Come, first serve.
Or the fog. You know, there's the fog, and
exactly.
You can't get out. But
right.
That's,
well, yeah, but he's able to connect virtually, and you – extend the reach of the conference virtually too through social media. You say from the 200 who, which is the cap for attendance at the fire conference held annually, out of that you reach how many?
Well, the BBC reaches 150 million, so they take segments and they broadcast that for the next year to 150 million people. We also have fire sites, mirror sites, with our partners that throughout the world, too, as well. So, you know, we have London, Barcelona, and three other mirror sites usually every year.
Well, Sharon Morris, thank you for joining us this morning. She's the Program Director for Strategic News and Service and also the Future in Review Conference. Sharon, if folks are interested in considering signing up for the newsletter, where would they go and what's the cost of the newsletter?
Well, they can call me or email me at sharon@stratnews.com. The newsletter annual fee is $5.95 for the membership. It's the membership. And
right.
The conference is $4,900.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Interesting and interesting the connections that come out of little old Park City.
It is fascinating.
Okay. Well, we're headed into our late summer pattern now where we're experiencing scattered thunderstorms, mostly in the afternoons, and that's in the forecast all the way through Tuesday night, heading for a high of 81 today, 83, and then 85. So it warms up as we get to through the week, Friday ending up at about 87. So we're going to be back in just a minute talking to Glenn Smith of Rogue Wave Productions, and we'll be talking about apps and other techie things. This is Mountain Money in Park City on KPCW, and we will be back in a minute.
Hey, Dave, when is the best time for a story?
Sunday mornings at 8:30.
Hi, this is Kathy.
And I'm Dave. We're co-hosts of The Story Mine. Tune in Sunday mornings right here at KPCW.
Experience the treasures of storytelling every Sunday morning at 8:30.
Park City Realty Group is proud to support KPCW. Park City Realty Group has provided real estate services to buyers and sellers since 2005. Our team shares local knowledge and insight with clients who value the Park City lifestyle. Knowledge plus hard work equals success. 649-1991 or parkcityrealtygroup.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Tune in to KPCW every Tuesday morning at 9 to hear This Green Earth.
We'll cover environmental issues from local to global, from snowpack to giant squid,
geothermal energy to gray wolves,
and honeybees to sustainable chocolate. Brought to you by Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough,
Republic Services,
Habitat for Humanities Restore,
and Rocky Mountain Power.
Welcome back to Mound Money. We just spoke with Sharon Morris, who's the Program Director for Strategic News Services. Interesting conversation. Always
indeed.
Fascinating to hear what folks are doing both in Park City and outside of Park City. With us now, we have a new resident of Park City. I think as of a couple of years ago, we have Glenn Smith here. He is the founder of Rogue Wave Productions. And if you've ever thought there should be an app for that, and there's not an app for that, that might be a business opportunity for you. And Glenn Smith's company can help you with creating that app. Welcome to Mound Money, Glenn.
Thank you, Doug. It's good to be here.
So you heard my kind of preview. So tell me what Rogue Wave Productions does, and hopefully I've kind of teased people in the correct direction.
Yeah, so I think that the best place to start is the name. I think Rogue Wave implies a little bit of radicalism, and that's for sure, because I'm inspired by Elizabeth Gilbert's take on TED.com, where she speaks about the creative process and how it's unpredictable. And I think that that's where we are with mobile apps. Reimagination is unpredictable at this point. And I think there's a constant need for creating new applications for small businesses and individuals and games. And that would certainly be the absolute future with this, with the mobile applications.
So I heard the numbers on Apple's latest conference call, at least for the iOS system, how many apps there are. And I forget the exact number. It's definitely over a million. But with over a million apps, are there any ideas left that haven't been appified?
That's a great question. I think the number was they had their billionth download,
right?
A million apps.
And I think that the whole idea of creativity and reimagination with mobile applications is the sky's the limit. I think what's going on right now, there is a saturation in the market. For sure, with applications and kind of a repeat of ideas. However, with business kind of sitting on the sidelines, I think a lot of opportunity, especially in the United States, has been kind of a waiting on the sideline to see what's going to happen. But I think the big players are going to start coming in pretty soon with utility applications. More and more companies are exploring, especially with advertising and so forth. So I think there's a lot of opportunity.
It is amazing to me that apps have stayed, for the most part, still a cottage business. Mom and dads can still, or mom and pops can still create an app that's going to end up being the number one app, and it's not the landscape of the big Fortune 500 companies. Why do you think that is?
Well, again, it's a wait and see, and I think my experience when I worked for a large media company at one time, I think that larger companies are rather cantankerous, and I think that there's been a lot of talk about being nimble and cutting down. I think there's a little bit of a delay with larger companies that takes a long time to adjust to a smaller, leaner market. I've urged the internet departments and newspaper to operate like a small magazine, because that's you can respond to the demand of the marketplace, and I think that's one of the problems. And again, I think the other part is the wait and see aspect of it. So
what is your niche? Where do you fit in? What does Rogue Wave produce that is unique in the market?
Well, I'd like to approach it with like the 401k, kind of diversify the portfolio with what we target. The small business, sometimes individual who have products and services, there's an internet marketing component, and then if they would want a mobile application along with that, they can also utilize the application to spread out their reach. There's also I target the real estate, smaller real estate, especially upstart new agents out there. There's a real estate website that I have. I also target locally here with a vlog site. It's called Park City, Utah HangoutLocal.com, where we interview small businesses and offer a Facebook viral coupon that goes along with that.
You know, it's a great point, particularly with real estate, right? Because we all have our phones in our pocket. They all have GPSs. The phone knows where we're at. It's the perfect application for real estate. And must have been 4 or 5 years ago, a buddy of mine that is a realtor started an app called youinparkcity.com, and it's really well done. And when you're walking down your street, if you want to know if any houses are for sale or what the histories of the houses are, it's just, or when you're on a ski resort, you can see where the houses are locally. It just begs for that local knowledge, and I think that's where you're going. So let's say that there's a local person here that has a local idea. No big company is going to come after the app. And they want to develop an app, but they're not a programmer, which I think is your target audience, right?
Yes.
You can help them outsource that. So I'm going to give you an app idea that I've had, and I'll tell you why I'm willing to share it on the air later. But we all get inundated in our email boxes. I mean, how many emails do you have a day, and how many of them do you really want? So there should be a button on your phone that just says stop. It's just a little stop sign, and when you read it in email, you never want to get it again. You hit stop. So I've got this idea for something that, in this case, it could be a very big audience, right?
I'm writing it down right now.
Here you go. Stop. Larry and I will be business partners on this. But so if somebody has an idea like that, I want to see that app get developed. What does it cost, and how do you go about doing that?
I think the general question is that how much would it cost if you didn't have the application? You know, if it's
no. So for me, is the idea. I've got this idea, but I'm not a programmer. I want somebody to program it, and I want it to get on iTunes, and I want to see if people start using it. What would it cost for me to start that business using your services to help me?
It varies between whether or not how many features you have on a particular app. It can range anywhere from $5,000. And then the more advanced the user interface, that's the graphics and the fancy sounds and the right. interactions, it can get well up into $80,000 depending on the...
So my little idea here, a little stop sign, you read an email and you never want to get an email from this person again, there's a little stop sign. That would be an inexpensive app, right? Not a whole lot of... Maybe we put a cool little sound when you hit the stop sign, but other than that...
Yeah, that would be a relatively inexpensive
five. A brake squeal at the end.
Yeah, there you go. It will put it together right here. But the reason I'm willing to share it is, turns out, Larry, there is an app for that. And it's even better than my idea, which is you can stop it, but you can also, the ones that you like to read occasionally, it will roll up all of the emails that you don't need to read every day, but occasionally you do want to read, into one email. So in my case, there were 250 emails a day that they roll up into one. It's really well done. I'll give them a little plug. It's called unroll.me.
Okay.
UNROLL.me. And I love it. I've got no business affiliation with it. It's just I've had this idea, and your company, Glenn, can help people that have this idea and say, there really should be something for this. If you feel that way, it doesn't have to cost $100,000 to develop an app.
No, it does not have to. And of course, the cost is always negotiable. And based, again, on the features. And, Doug, you gave a fantastic example of that reimagination. You're not alone. There's a lot of people that come forward and say, hey, I have a great app idea. And one of my mentors, Chad Moretta from the App Empire, he says, you know, I have constantly people coming to me, I have a great app idea. And a lot of times people will pursue it and it'll fail miserably. And
but they're only out $5,000 or $10,000 if they do it this way, right? It's not like they quit their day job, which is a very risky thing to pursue this app.
Don't I know? Yes.
So here's another one. So if somebody has an idea for an app, I find that the iTunes Store, ironically, really doesn't have a good search function. If you want to see has somebody already created an app for this, it's really quite hard to do. Do you have search tools that you could recommend to people? That the first thing is there already something available for 99 cents on the App Store?
With regard to your solution?
There should be a Google for the App Store where you can do a robust search on what's available.
Agreed. I think what happens in the App Store, from my experience, is that there are people that are chasing keywords. So if you have someone that created, for example, Angry Birds, there are variations, other people using, writing that
not
keyword.
Not so angry birds. Yeah. Very angry birds.
Exactly. It goes on and on and on. And so what happens with that is you have multiple funnels to these keywords that are very popular and people trying to ride the coattails of those keywords. So when you have something innocuous like email, stop email or something like that, it's going to be shoved way down in a search. So if you were to come up with a clever name for the app that allows it to be pushed up in the search and market the daylights out of it, that would be the solution.
That's one aspect of it, and I agree. How do you get visibility on the App Store? And that's probably a big part of what you help people with so that they're not lost in the crowd. But I'm just surprised if I want to search and see, okay, I had this idea. Does something exist already? That's hard to do as a business person. And I would think that might be one of the first things you help people with. They have an idea for an app. Like you came up with an app. I'll give you a chance to plug it. If you want to go to Moab, there's a great app to let you know kind of the local things to do in Moab. Local Moab, is it called?
Actually, I call it two different things, Moab Local Guide and Moab Guide. I tried it on Android just for, again, the keywords, see right. which would get more of the search results. And actually, Moab Local Guide is doing very well.
Great. Well, it's this local aspect. I'm going on vacation to San Diego in, later this week? And that's my question is, what do the locals in San Diego do? And now, after seeing your app, I'm going to see if there's something like that for San Diego. So how long have you been in business, and you know, how many apps have you helped put out there?
I started in January 2013. Right now, there's approximately, I have four apps that are available either in the Android store, Google Play, or Google Play for Android, and then the iOS platform, the App Store. And I'm also doing private apps for various individuals, and that should be in around five by January.
And who does the programming for these apps?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
So are you a one-man band
I am.
This point? Okay.
However, I do outsource, which is it takes a load off. There's so many resources available through the internet. There's Fiverr.com, which is basically you pay somebody $5 to do graphics. There's Freelancer.com. There's a lot of resources to help hire all over the globe.
Did you say Fiverr?
Fiverr.com.
And they'll do a graphic for you for $5?
Basically, yes, they will.
Wow.
What is it, a line?
Well, it's interesting. You can actually ask for more, and then you pay more than $5.
Yeah, another five.
Right,
if you want a circle, that's 15.
Larry, you had a similar experience. One of your hobbies, one of your passions is history.
Yeah.
And you wanted a logo, and it was very inexpensive.
I outsourced to logotournament.com. Mm-hmm. And you can get and then graphic artists worldwide compete for designing your logo.
And you only pay for the one you liked, right?
And you just pay for the one you like. The others are on spec. And I ended up buying a logo. And I shouldn't say this because it was offshore outsourcing from some guy in Jakarta,
really,
Indonesia.
Isn't that amazing?
which to me is just stunning. There are no borders, there is no travel.
You can bet the NSA tracked that transaction. Holy cow!
I'm going to be in the computers out in Draper one of these days. But
I think we all are.
But yeah, there are fabulous services like that available. And now, let's talk beyond apps to your local website, Park City, Utah, hangoutlocal.com.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand it. So give me a description of it.
Sure, there's an increasing demand for video advertising. And they're finding that it's very effective. Statistically, Google has created a platform. It's called Google Hangouts. And it gives an individual the ability to broadcast, such as we're doing today. And it's a live stream, which is very powerful for an individual to do. Basically, we embed they use YouTube as the interface, and they embed the video right onto the homepage of Park City, Utah Hangout Local. So we give local business owner live airtime using video, and then it's cached on the site so people can go back. So if somebody has a product or a service they want to offer, then they can announce it on there, and it's a way for locals and beyond to get to know local businesses. And I go for the smaller ones that are struggling, and it's very effective.
So how does this work? Do you take your iPhone and shoot a movie with them? Or
no.
I'm still not getting the actual interface.
Yes, the interface is utilizing Google Hangouts. If you have a laptop with a camera and audio, you sit there, you send a link, and people drop in like a Skype call. And there's a broadcast button so you can get settled in. And then you hit it, and away it goes.
So if a local business owner here wants another avenue to tell the story of his business, he could contact you, and you could talk to him on this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how would somebody contact you and talk to you about doing that?
On the homepage of Park City, Utah, hangoutlocal.com, there's an entry to submit your email, and I get access to that, and I contact you, and we can work out a time and a place and the content that you want to offer.
And how many people are subscribed to this Hangout? Because part of it is just building the audience, right? It's a chicken and the egg problem. Once you have the audience, then it has more outreach. But getting the audience is difficult.
It is, because I have pokers and a lot of fire. How much I want to nurture it. Right now, there's probably 50 subscribers, and it has a lot of potential. I kind of put it to the wayside for a moment, and so absolutely.
Well, you'll have 51 or 52. That seems like something I'd be interested in checking out as well. So,
thank you.
And hopefully folks listening. I think it's a good idea. And so, you know, in some ways it's a little competitive to the radio station. It's an alternative channel. But I think there's lots of alternatives.
Oh, well, then shut off his microphone right now.
Well, again, it's like the 401k portfolio with when it comes to media. You want to mix your reach. You're reaching a certain audience. The videos reach a certain audience. And, you know, if you if the users use what they want. So, I mean, the people who want to advertise.
Right. Okay. So who exactly in Park City in our audience should be calling you? Who is your customer here on the Wasatch back?
Great question, Larry. I think that, again, I like to help the smaller businesses, some of the retail stores, executive chefs, owners of restaurants, some of the smaller, like a print store. Any service that's that requires that has a website, definitely has a website, that they have some sort of an idea of their digital space, how they want to present that, and they're wanting to run a campaign and use the video to do a coupon campaign or something like that, and it generates a lot of traffic. I will drive traffic to your website and ultimately to your point of sale.
Very good. Okay. And to reach you in on the web, where do they go?
That would be roguewaveproductionsllc.com. And you can also email me at info@roguewaveproductionsllc.com as well. Thank you.
And just before we say our goodbyes, I think it was your site that I went to that had a dog site, dogs available for adoption. And my two kids are very involved locally with Furburbia. So if you want to take a minute and tell us about the dog site, is this – a general outreach for adoptable dogs, or what's going on there?
Well, we know in Park City, it seems like everyone has a dog. It's a very, very dog-centric community, and I've created ParkCityDoggies.com, and it's kind of like a Facebook for dogs, I guess, or snout book, actually, for dogs. And it's just a fun site for locals to take pictures and videos of their dogs. And also what I'd like to do is drive traffic to the smaller dog proprietors. I know that Park City Sunday, there's people that have, you know, collars, and people are making things out of their garage, and that's there's a
dog beds.
We have the microbiologist who invented
PhD
who has built a better dog bed.
Exactly. So individuals like that, and again, they can park their banner and their website on there. And
okay. Well, now that I've taken the show to the dogs to close us out, our guest is Glenn Smith. He's the founder of Rogue Wave Productions. Thank you for joining us this morning, Glenn.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Larry.
You bet. And we'll be back to continue Mountain Money, continue the discussion after this.
This is Christian Bohr with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Joining the Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Chamber Bureau members enjoy a wide array of benefits, including instant credibility, weekly newsletters with relevant information, educational seminars, webinars, and much more. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
Join KPCW every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. for the latest news in town and around the world. Trusted news anchor Leslie Thatcher delivers local news as well as broadcasts of NPR News, Marketplace, and national stories. Morning Edition with Leslie Thatcher is brought to you by Promontory the Ranch Club, Nexus IT, and Jance Mountain Outfitters.
And welcome back to Mountain Money, and our third guest has not appeared, so we're just going to continue the conversation about all things Park City and all things business. And Doug, this is a tourism town. It can't hurt a bit to have the premier outdoor adventure magazine, Outside Magazine, call our little place what, the best town ever?
Yeah.
Period.
It's quite an accolade. Yeah, I haven't seen the magazine.
And I have not read the article. I heard Leslie's interview with Mayor Dana about it this morning. Apparently has a few things that either aren't quite accurate or aren't quite complimentary.
You'd expect that, right? It can't be totally one-sided.
The Chamber of Commerce does not get to write magazine pieces. Yes.
Well, as a person growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, I used to read these outside magazine articles and say, boy, wouldn't it be great to live in that town or this town? And you know what? This time when the magazine came out, I do live in that town. So quite exciting.
Well, it's like the T-shirt you see on Main Street allegedly locals would wear, I guess, My life is your vacation, or what is it?
I've seen that one. Yeah, exactly.
We are indeed blessed here. And, you know, I moved here 34 years ago. My gosh, it has been that long. And it was because I had a job in the city, but this is the only place in North America that I know of where you can have a job in a big city, and you have one now.
Exactly.
You're just a 20 minutes away from this tranquil little town. Quick commute to all the things you want: Major League Soccer and basketball and Pac-12 football and all the amenities of a big city in a small town package that's isolated enough from that big city that you're not influenced by the traffic and pollution and all the baggage.
And, you know, it doesn't happen by accident, and so kudos to the business leaders here. You know, one, for getting rated. Obviously, there's a game involved in that, and you have to present yourself the right way. But more important is there's a 20-year game plan. You know, getting recognized that way is a result of work that people, when you moved here 34 years ago, when I moved here 10 years ago, in keeping the charm of the town. And I don't know about you, just in the 10 short years I've lived here, summers are very different now. Very busy.
I am stunned, especially this summer, more than any other summer. And we have a great studio location in Sweet Alley where it's half a block over to Main Street. And I make sure I take a walk. If I'm going to be able to work in downtown Park City, I'm going to go take a walk in it every day.
Good for you.
And just the amount of foot traffic, and it didn't. Summers used to begin around 4th of July weekend, but June was exceptionally busy too. And I think the lodging people will say so as well. There have been people filling the streets and putting heads on pillows all summer long.
You know, it's constantly making good decisions, which is a philosophy that I have in my business. What I try to help my clients with: make good financial decisions, and I think our business leaders here have done a good job of making good decisions for the city to keep the charm. I know about a year ago, a friend of mine, actually, he co-hosted here about 6 months ago, Paul Wozniak, he sent me an email, and apparently there was a bill that would have made it harder for local cities to say no to billboards. And there could have, had this bill passed, there could have been billboards in Park City, which would have been awful. I mean, there's the one on Park Avenue.
Yeah.
I think it's a McDonald's billboard of all things, but there's only the one billboard. But it's making these decisions along the way that help keep this town and keep its charm. And it's hard sometimes because there's huge economic reasons sometimes to say yes, short term, but long term it would hurt the town.
And you know, in the beginning it was more organic. Now the city has lobbyists and a big professional staff, but not that well. It has been a while back. It's been 30 plus years where the mayor was signing back his paycheck because there wasn't enough in the coffers.
But just
the incremental one guy, one business, one family saying, let's try this, let's try that. Very similar to Moab, where one family said, let's start a bike shop. There must be great places we could convince people to ride in Moab. And here it was kind of the same, where a lot of things were tried, and then somebody or some group 25 years ago said, let's build some single track bike trail. It looks like mountain biking may be a big thing in the future. And Sally Elliott, among others, out saying we have an abandoned rail grade. Let's turn that into a bike trail. And now that goes all the way to Echo. And just little individual efforts, not done as part of any great vision, but tons of individuals with different ideas, and they've all coalesced into, I guess, the best town ever.
And I think that's it's very newsworthy. I think it'd be interesting to have a couple people, maybe somebody from City Council, maybe Dana, come in and talk with us in the next couple of weeks on Mountain Money as to, you know, what did that process look like, and what in their standpoint, especially for Dana, because this is his last term as mayor, from his standpoint, what were some of the big decisions that we made as a community that helped keep this place special?
Yeah, and interesting people live here because it is the best town ever. And an example, I had no idea this Strategic News Service fire conference is put together by a local here in Park City, Sharon Anderson Morris, our first guest. And this is, I'm sure she cringes at comparisons with TED because it's a different kind of conference, but it is a thinky conference where people get together and hash out the future and try to come up with some solutions. And the all-star lineup is just amazing.
It really is. And, you know, I'm glad I asked her what the cost of the newsletter was because I was thinking it was going to be a couple $1,000s. And $5.95 is much more affordable than what
not
I thought
$5.
It was
going to be. $595.
But, what did I thought I said $595 there. Thank you for correcting. Yeah, no, it's not $6.
And
for just 10 cents a week, you too.
So you can see a sample at stratnews.com.
And, you know, on that note, for folks that aren't going to spend the $595, boy, the TEDx conferences are available, I know, on the iOS platform. They've got to be available on the Android as well for free. I keep them. I just download the audio, not the video. And when, you know, when I get to Parley Summit and I can't pick up KPCW anymore, I listen to TED Talks. They're free, and it's amazing information.
And, of course, you know, if you had an app, and I know you do, you could get KPCW all the way down to the valley.
Good plug.
Let's not forget that. And let's not also forget that KPCW is only in Park City, and we are supported by listener contributions, and our drive, our pledge drive, some people love it, some people hate it, but it is the lifeblood of KPCW, and we really need your participation, especially this year, because we've had a couple of technical problems with antennas on mountaintops, and these are very expensive things to repair, and we really need your support to get us back up to the service we want to be and that we have proven that we can deliver. So our pledge drive begins the 26th of August and runs through the 30th. We encourage you to, if you can volunteer, call Ethel at the main desk. And if you have premiums, pledge premiums we can use as thank you gifts, please give Cindy a call here at the station or myself, and we'll get you hooked up. And be on the radio dial for us or online listening the week of August 26th. That will be one of the key fundraisers to keep KPCW
and it's about,
going forward.
It's about, what, a third of the
station?
It's
a quarter.
It's a quarter.
It's a quarter of our budget, and it's a piece of the budget we need to be increasing because of sequester and because of uncertainties of federal funding. We need to build a war chest, both to make our repairs
and
to be...
Well, when even Big Bird's not safe, you know small stations like KPCW have a challenge.
Exactly. Well, we like to say only in Park City, only on KPCW do you get this kind of programming, and that's Mountain Money. This is KPCW, Park City.